Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. What a blessing it has been. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of John in chapter 17, John chapter 17, we're going to be reading verse 24 down to verse 26, the very end of the chapter here. John chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, if you found that, if you would stand with us as we read the Word of God, if you're able to stand. We'll start reading in verse 24, just three verses this morning, and read down to the end of the chapter, verse 26. The Bible says, and this is the Lord's prayer, this is Jesus' actual prayer to God the Father. And he says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, thank you, Lord God, for the blessings of being in church today and for allowing each one of us just to sense your presence here. And God, I thank you for what we've already experienced. But now, Father, as we open up your precious holy word, I know that you want to work through the preaching of the word of God. And I pray that you'd anoint it once again. I pray that you'd use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This, if you will, chapter 17 is the prayer of all prayers. Chapter 17 of the book of John should be what is known as the Lord's Prayer. What most people think about the Lord's Prayer was Jesus' teaching on how to pray. And he gives a breakdown of things, how to pray and what to pray for. But the actual praying of the Lord is John chapter 17. The actual prayer of Jesus, praying to God the Son, praying to God the Father concerning all believers. That's what you have in John chapter 17. I mean, if it all allow us to understand that if you want insight into the very mind of God, then you need to read and study chapter 17 of the book of John. Because this is God the Son praying to God the Father concerning every born-again believer that would live throughout this church age. Since Christ, some 2,000 years ago, all the way through to the rapture of the church, he is referring to the saved. All of the saved that will have been saved, are saved, or that will get saved in this New Testament church age. And what a powerful, powerful chapter in the Bible. In verse 24 down to verse 26 is what we have looked to for the service this morning. I believe this is exactly where God would have us to be. His last message of his prayer to God the Father has to do with love. Not just any love, but the love of God. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me whether I am where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me. First of all, understanding God loving his only begotten Son, which as we understand who Jesus is God the Son. There's a Trinity in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We are to be aware of that every time we baptize because we have been instructed to baptize in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, which is a Trinity of God. So we would not lose sight of that as his church. And he says, as thou lovest me. And then he says in verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. So if the world has not known them, then the world cannot know his love. But I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me, the love that God had toward humanity through Jesus Christ, the love that thou hast loved, wherewith thou hast loved me, may be in them. Understand that. The very powerful. That's because that's what we're preaching on. The title I'm going to preach to you, the message I'm going to preach to you is God's love in me. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have God's love in you. Because God's love in us only comes by way of Jesus Christ. If you don't have God's love in you, you can't love as God would want you to love. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me, this is the love of God, may be in them. It's not in them automatically. And I in them. The most important thing for all humanity to learn about is God's love. The thing that most people do not understand is God's love. Everyone has a thought. Everyone has a feeling, if you will, or has somewhat of a self-understanding when it comes to love. But if you don't understand, if you've never studied the Bible and understand and has taught and learned from the Bible the very love of God, you don't have a good understanding of love. If you don't understand it, you can't love it. You can't allow it to work in and through you. So this idea, the most important thing for all humanity to learn about is God's love. And it begins with mothers. Because the first influence that everyone in this auditorium has when you come into this life is a mother. God's will is that every child could experience His love. That's why the Bible says that every child, God's will is to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means that God wants every mother to have His love in them, thereby being able to love that child with God's love. You see, God's love is spiritual. Now, we can go into the different aspects of love and the agape love and all the different definitions of, I understand all that, but listen to me. The Bible says that God's love, if it comes from God, then God's love has to be spiritual. Because God is a spirit. John chapter 4, just a few chapters. Let me lay the foundation here. I want you to understand this is what the Bible says. John chapter 4 and verse 23 and verse 24, as Jesus was teaching the woman at the well, he said, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers, if Jesus identifies true worshipers, that means that there's a lot of people who think they're worshiping God that are not worshiping God. If there's true worshipers, then there has to be false worshipers. But true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. That means that you have to understand the spiritual to be able to understand who God is and to know God. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must. That's a must. Worship Him in spirit. You have to understand the spiritual. to be able to worship God and understand who God is and understand the Bible as God has given it to us, even to understand love, must understand the spirit and truth. Not the truth that the world presents, not the truth that comes from the philosophies of humanity, but the truth that comes from God. And the truth that comes from God has been written down and recorded for us and preserved by God so that we might know the truth. And not only that we might know the truth, that we might know who God is, we might know Him in spirit. God is spiritual. We experience His love, which is spiritual, through Jesus Christ. John chapter 15. Go back there with me. John chapter 15, verse 9 down to verse 12. The Bible says, as the Father hath loved me, Jesus is teaching his disciples right before he actually prays the Lord's the prayer to God the Father in chapter 17. And this is right before he goes to the cross of Calvary. It's at the end of his earthly ministry. And so he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That which is the love that God has, which is spiritual love, not the love of the flesh, not the love of the world, but it's a love that comes from God. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, and even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Have the joy of the Lord as we understand this spiritual love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Loving one another affects every area, every relationship of life. And if we do not have a love for our relationships, if we do not have the God's love in us, we cannot get all that we can have out of the relationships of life. If you don't understand spiritual love, then you cannot have the kind of marriage that God wants you to have. Not saying that you can't live together for the rest of your life, and you might live together for the rest of your life. It's getting harder and harder to do that in society here because society is changing and redefining what we believe to be love. And you might have some kind of a conviction and you might have some kind of a determination to stay married, but if you're not saved, if you don't have the love of God in you, you're not going to get everything out of your marital relationship that God wants you to get out of your relationship because you really do not understand spiritual love. And you might be able to raise good children. You might be able to raise children that's going to become good members of society, contribute to society. But listen to me, if you do not raise your children with the spiritual love of God, they will never get out of this life what God wants them to get out of this life. And if they don't experience the love of God, they will not die and go to heaven because they will die lost, never have receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Wow, that's powerful stuff. Stop and think about that. That is powerful stuff to understand. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ is presenting to us. Loving as Christ has loved us is only made possible when God is in us. You're trying to forgive the unforgivable and love the unlovable. Without the love of God, you can't do it. No matter how hard you try, no matter what you attempt, you can't do it because that's a spiritual kind of love. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. If I go too fast for you, write these verses down. I want you to go back. I want you to study them to make sure that what I'm teaching you is Bible. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, because God will not receive your love of the world. He will not receive your love from the flesh. That's a false religion. That's a false worship. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Once you have his love in you, then you can love God as God wants you to love him. But that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means a sacrifice to appease God. This is a sign. This is a definition of the love of God as we look at Jesus Christ. Verse 16, it says this, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. It's not perfect if you don't have the love of God in you. You might have a little bit of it. You might have a little slice of it, an understanding of loving this person, loving that thing, or whatever it might be. You cannot love as God wants you to love outside of God in you. And when you get God in you, then what little truth that you had in what love really is and not lust, most of the time people get confused with lust. And they have a feeling and they think this feeling is love, and that the feeling is not love, the feeling is lust. Or if you will, you fall in love with a sense of love. Young people do this all the time. That's a problem most young people have. God has instilled within us something very powerful that only when it is given in love through marriage, then you can have the blessings of God. But because it's so powerful in a marital relationship, young people will experience this physical sense of feeling of love, and they fall in love with love, and they think it's a person. It's really not that person. It could have been a number of different people, but you fall in love with that, and you think that's the person you can't live without, and so you marry them, and you have a disastrous life because it's not based on true love. It's based on your perception of love. I trust you got that. I don't have time. I don't know that I could repeat it, but anyway, the idea there is it's a different type of love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Yes, amen. We can truly understand and we can truly apply spiritual love when God is in us. Wow. In nature, the thing to fear most out in the wild, if you're a hiker and you like to hike in some dense areas, go into the different national parks, you'll find when you hike in the wild, there's wild animals out there. And the thing to fear the most is a wild animal with offspring. Most bear attacks occur when hikers happen to stumble upon a bear with cubs. The most vicious animal that you will come up against is a mother trying to protect her cubs, thinking they're in danger. And many hikers have been mauled by bears because you just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time when that mother bear was bringing her cubs across the path, and she sees you. Not necessarily as food. Now, there's times when they might stalk an individual by themselves, but they'll see you as a danger. Come across a lioness with her cubs, they'll see you as both a danger to the cubs and food, amen? They'll just eat you and feed you to their cubs. But that's protective instinct. That's not necessarily love. That's protective instinct. Every mother has it. It's how God designed you. But protective instinct is not necessarily love. And you might raise your child into adulthood with a protective instinct, but you have failed that child if you have not raised that child with that spiritual love. How do you know that? Well, I know that because the very same bear and the very same lioness that attacked you thinking her cubs were in danger will actually mate with another male lion that eats their cubs, kills their cubs. The lioness is there, and a new king comes in, and he has to kill these cubs, and this lioness will try to protect and hide them, but when he has to come, he kills these cubs, and after they're dead, she'll turn around and mate with the one who killed her cubs to have another mix of cubs. That's not love. That's animal instinct. That's a mother's protective instinct. That's not love. Having God in us brings a person into an awareness of a different way to live life and to love. It only happens with God in us. That's why the Bible says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are past. Behold, all things become new. Because you have now an understanding and you have the ability in every relationship of life to have spiritual love. Spiritual love. In this life that we live in, there is that which is physical, which is visible, the material world. And there is a spiritual kingdom, which is invisible to the naked eye. Colossians in chapter 1, it's important that we understand this because you'll find that too often the physical drowns out the spiritual, even in love. In Colossians in chapter 1, keep your thinking caps on, amen, follow with me, and get a hold of this truth. Colossians in chapter 1, verse 16 says this, for by him were all things created, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who was there in the beginning of all creation, because he was God the Son. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. There was things created that you and I cannot see. That's the spiritual. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. You see, as we study the Bible, and I don't have time to go through and give you all the verses here, but the first thing is God, first of all, created spiritual beings. God created the first creation of God as far as what God has revealed to us in the scriptures is God created the angels and the heavenly creatures. That was the first thing that God created, spiritual beings. He then, as according to the Bible, he created the material kingdom. This is the physical things. This is outside the understanding and what's visible in the spiritual life. Then we have the physical life. We find that God created and revealed to us this material kingdom, physical things, which is the heaven and the earth. Can I tell you, there's nothing that man can create today. Man just finds what God has already created and finds ways of putting them together to make certain things, but man cannot create something out of nothing. Everything that man has is what he has found that God already created. And so we find here that he created the material kingdom, the heavens and the earth. The third thing he created was the animal kingdom. Today, more people are obsessed with the physical, material kingdom and the animal kingdom more so than they are in the human kingdom. They are concerned more about physical things and they're concerned more about their animals than they are about human life. After God created the animal kingdom, and animals were created without a soul, amen, without an eternal soul, when they die, they're dead. That's the animal kingdom. But God created them for a purpose. And after all these other things that God created, he created the crown of all creation, and that is the human kingdom. And as he created the human kingdom, he created after his own image and his own likeness, created him God, man and woman. He created them after his own image and his own likeness. And with that, he instilled within them his love. Because they were to be superior than everything else. They were to have relationships like nothing else that God created. They were created to bring God pleasure. Then man fell to sin. And when man sinned, he died a spiritual death as well as a physical death, and that love was taken from him. Now, the only way to get that love back is to be reconciled with God. The only way to be reconciled with God is through Jesus Christ. And when you're reconciled with God through Jesus Christ, then that love comes back into you. Amen. Oh, I trust you got that, because that is so powerful. I didn't have time to develop it, but it is exactly the way what the Bible teaches us. Most of the time, the physical drowns out the spiritual in our lives, because it's what we see, it's what we touch. When you're at work, the physical work that you're doing will drown out spiritual activities. For most, you're focused on what you're doing. And that's what you're thinking about. That's what you're looking to do. Work. When you're working, most of the time, people don't even think about the spiritual, because the physical drowns it out. When you're not working, your responsibilities, what you have to do after you're not working for an employer, now you're working for your wife and all the honeydew lists and all the different other things that you have to do. And that will drown out your spiritual life, because I've got so much to do. Physical, what I see, what I touch, I got to get it done. And if that's not enough to take up your time, then we have the recreational time. And the recreational time, because it's what we feel, it's what we touch, then it takes away the spiritual, and all we're focused on is recreational time. If that doesn't do it, to eat. We're always thinking about food. Amen? Yeah. After breakfast, I wonder what I'm going to have for lunch. After lunch, what do we have for dinner? After dinner, what's our midnight snack tonight? And so these are physical. These are things that you're touching. These are things that you're aware of. It's the spiritual. It is the visible things. And these visible things, because we are visible people and carnal people, it will drown out the spiritual. Spiritual is only viewed by many when they face tragedies. When the physical just doesn't make any sense. When it really doesn't, you don't matter if you got a job or not. When you lose a loved one, you lose a spouse, you're not caring about work, you're not caring about food, you're not caring about recreation. And you start thinking about life beyond the physical. When you're laying in bed at night, after all the visible things have taken your time and taken your mind, when you're laying in bed tonight and you're having a hard time sleeping, is when you're more aware of the spiritual. Because it's just you and your thoughts and God. And if you're saved, the Spirit of God's going to be able to convict you a little bit more when you're looking and thinking about Him, and you don't have the other things drowning things out. If you're lost, it's the Spirit of God who's convicting you during those times. When you don't have everything else around you drowning it out. Can I tell you, many people have been saved because they come under conviction, maybe somebody's sharing them the scriptures, but they have not allowed the Spirit of God to really penetrate them until they're laying in bed. There's probably many in this auditorium this morning that got saved laying in bed because you were focused on spiritual and you realize, I'm lost. If I was to die tonight, I'm going to go to a devil's hell. And you cried out to Jesus because somebody told you that's what you needed to do. Somebody shared with you the scriptures. And then even on your own bed, all alone, just you and God, and you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save your soul. And that's all it takes. Your will yielding to God's will. But you have to get into the spiritual. You have to get away from the physical. And I trust when you come to church, you're able to do that. When you come to church, I tell our people all the time, come to church expecting to meet with God. Come to church expecting to receive something that you can't find anywhere else, because you're going to be coming under the preaching of the very words of God. And when you come in here and you're aware of the spiritual, that which you cannot see but does exist, then you're more apt to receive that spiritual help that will help you to live the life and to love as God would have you to. Wow. We must learn about the spiritual life, because it's through the spiritual life that I have the love of God in me. And I can love. There's never a time when I do not know that God loves me, because I've gotten a hold of the spiritual life. And I'm aware of the love of God because of what Jesus did for me. That's what he says. As God loved me, God sent him, I have loved you. And his love for us, when you realize he died for you, makes a difference in how we live our lives. If you are aware that an almighty God loved you enough to die for you, that will affect your everyday life. Amen. And because of that, then he says, now, as I have loved you, love others. I have given you the love that God had in me to send me. Now I have placed it in you. And now that it's in you, use that to live life loving as I have loved you. What a difference that makes, but you have to be aware of it. If you're blinded and blocked out and you allow the things of this physical world to drown out the spiritual, then you will not live as God would have you to live. And if you don't live as God would have you to live, you will not love as God would have you to love. And all your relationships will suffer. There's never a time that I do not know that God has a purpose for my life. That's spiritual. That's spiritual understanding. That God loves me, that's a spiritual understanding. God has a purpose for my life, that's spiritual understanding. There's never a time that I do not understand that God controls everything that I cannot. That's spiritual understanding. I have that. Because somebody loved me enough to point me to Jesus Christ. I had a mother that prayed for me when I would come home, rebellious teenager. And she would always say, Dan, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I didn't want her prayers at that time. I wanted to live the life I wanted to live. But that prayer for me is what kept me from destroying my life. And ultimately what led me to yield my life to God. How can I develop this kind of spiritual love? How can I have this kind of spiritual love? Believe and receive Jesus Christ. Only comes by way of him. You cannot have God's love in you unless you have Christ in you. That's what Jesus is praying for. If you go back there, let me just read to you once again, chapter 17 and verse 26. He says this, and I have declared unto them thy name. I'm revealing to them God, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. And I in them. You have Jesus Christ in you. You have his love in you. You need to believe in him. You need to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior today if you have not already done that. And then you must learn of his love. You have it in you. And then you start reading and studying the life of Christ and you realize how he lived his life and you start looking to apply that very same love the way that he applied it to the relationships of his life. It changes how you live. It really does. The world says that you don't love unless you condone sin and sinful lifestyles. That is so wrong. That is not Bible. That's humanity. That is philosophy. You can't truly love somebody and support them and condone them in a lifestyle that's going to bring judgment. You can't do that if you truly love them. Jesus would not do that. The lady that was brought to him in an adulterous affair, caught in adultery, he said to those of you who have no sin, cast the first stone. They could not do that. And they all walked away, and the woman was left there. And he said this, woman, thy sins be forgiven you. Go and sin no more. Amen. Stop it. Yes. Amen. I love you, and I can forgive you. But that lifestyle that you're living is going to destroy you. Don't go back out and do it anymore. Stop it. It's because I love you. I tell you to change your lifestyle. Live as God wants you to live. Yeah. Learn of his love. His love is not supporting everything that goes on. His love is to stand when there's a time to stand, to forgive when there's a time to forgive. Withhold mercy when there's a time to withhold mercy. Whatever it might be, we learn of his love and commit to loving as he has loved us. The message, God's love in me changes everything. Not only changes how I live this life, it changes my eternal destiny. Because in order to have it, you have to have Christ in you. Christ in you is the only thing that's going to get you to the place of heaven. Do you have God's love in you? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. God's love in me. Make it personal this morning. Listen to me. Don't look around to anybody else. You have to look, understand. Do you have God's love in you? If not, get it in there today. You can. If you have blocked it out and you've tried to run away from it, listen to me. You're saved. You're going to be living a miserable life. You're going to come under conviction every day that you're living in sin. Confess and forsake that sin and let God's love come back to the forefront of your life. Rededicate a life. Repent of sin, whatever it might be. But know that you have God's love in you and you're allowing it to work through you. Father, we bow before you and thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. And I pray that as you prayed to the Father concerning us, concerning this idea of loving love in us, help us. Help everyone here right now to look within to make sure that they have your love in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.